Chapter 42. Arion. Arion kept his sword to Kira's throat as they approached the door. He knocked once, and then glanced back at the bed. Poe, it really was good to see you again. Hopefully next time it will be under better circumstances. Poe grimaced. Kira's door opened. The guards standing in the hallway saw their chief with a blade to her throat and quickly drew their weapons. Tell them to drop their swords and take off their boots. Kira sneered, but obeyed.
Do as he says.
Arion had them toss their boots inside her room. Now, I want you to drop your trousers. No one moved. Questioning looks were exchanged as they tried to determine whether or not he was serious.
Do you have some kind of aversion to clothes?
Kira asked.
I don't remember you being so exciting when we were younger.
She playfully rubbed her body up against his.
You want mine as well?
Arion tightened his grip on her arm. Just tell them. Kira rolled her eyes.
Do it.
Once her guards had undressed down to their small clothes, they escorted Arion, Kira, and Americia back to the main room. As they stepped through the outer archway and into the main gathering hall, there was an abrupt outburst of laughter at the sight of a parade of half-naked men. The hilarity of it all continued until Kira stepped through at the edge of a blade. Suddenly, everyone was on their feet with weapons pulled and eyes drawn.
What's the meaning of this?
One of the larger men at the front demanded. By his colourful dress and demeanour, he was no doubt one of the clan heads. Arion knew this was an all-or-nothing situation. Either they respected Kira's position as chief and let them pass, or they wouldn't, and this was going to get real ugly real fast. He knew he was a match for anyone in the room, but with this many hardened cutthroats all in one place, there was no way he could fight his way out and manage to keep Americia alive in the process.
I would think the meaning should be fairly obvious.
Americia grabbed his shoulder and whispered in his ear,
I don't think it would be wise to poke a hornet's nest while we're standing in the middle of it.
Unlike Americia, Arion knew these weren't the type of men and women you tried to placate. What they respected was strength. Arion smiled, ignoring Americia's warning.
But for those of you who are incapable of comprehending the meaning of my sword to your chief's neck, I will try to speak slowly. I am planning on walking out of here the same way I walked in, unharmed.
Arion scanned the room.
Did everyone catch my meaning?
He slid his blade up a little higher on her neck, forcing Kira's back to stiffen all the more.
She snarled. Do as he says!
It was clear that even under the disadvantage of being used as a human shield, Kira was still maintaining the illusion of control. In her position, that was a luxury she couldn't afford to lose. Arion and the two women slowly started across the room. The large circular door on the far side was still a ways off. Americia pressed as close as she could while making their way through the wall of angry, well-armed clansmen. Arion continued to scan the faces of those they passed, watching for the first sign of aggression. He knew the next steps were going to be the determining factor in whether they made it out alive. They were about three-quarters the way across when a booming voice near the platform rang out,
I demand the right of Oktar.
Arion's muscles tightened.
I was afraid of this. How dare you challenge me like this, Kherson?
Kira shouted, not caring one whit about Arion's blade at her throat. A head moved through the crowd. It was easily seen since it stood above the rest. The big man pushed his way through, but he didn't have to push hard. The others were quick to get out of his way. He wore an outfit of leather strapping. His arms were sleeveless, and for good reason. It would have cost a fortune to tailor a tunic to the size of them. Arion had to get control of the situation before the man's bravado seeped its way into the surrounding gathering, giving them all cause to question the validity of their chief's position.
Since she is under my, well, my care, Arion cut in, I will accept that challenge for her, by proxy.
The man stopped about 10 paces away.
Huh?
The fierce mammoth cocked his head to the side, obviously confused. He pushed a wad of scruffy hair out of his eyes, revealing a number of nasty scars across the top of his forehead and face. He had clearly seen one too many ends of a knife.
Arion rolled his eyes. Oh, for pity's sake. In other words, I will be her substitute. No wonder you are all living underground. With people like this, he pointed directly at Kersan, wanting to be your leader, I'd be embarrassed to show my face, too.
Kira kicked him in the shin.
What are you doing, you idiot?
She muttered under her breath, so only he could hear.
You're going to get us all killed. Shut your mouth.
I know what I'm doing.
Obviously not.
Kersan's never lost a fight. I don't care if you are the guardian protector. He will eat you alive and then look to me and your hussy here for dessert.
She stared into his eyes, studying his face, and then cocked her head to the side with a quizzical look.
Or is Death's shadow about to make an appearance?
I am not a hussy,
Americia snorted. Arion didn't respond to either woman as he watched Kersan for his agreement. In the Warrens, a show of force was the only respect they acknowledged. Much like his challenge to Captain Barthol while climbing the High Guard ranks years ago, Arion needed this to be a spectacle. But unlike that encounter, which ultimately ended in the forging of a close friend and confidant, Arion knew this fight would only be concluded with one or both lying in a pool of blood.
Well, do we have an accord? Arion smirked. That means deal, by the way.
Kersan looked Arion over and smiled.
If you want to die so badly, he said with a gruff, booming voice, then I'd be more than happy to oblige. That means yes.
Very good.
Arion handed Kira over to Americia as everyone backed away, leaving them an open area in the center of the chamber. Arion made a show of stretching his muscles by bending over and touching the tops of his boots before swinging his arms around in a rather clumsy fashion, as if to warm up. Many of those standing around chuckled, if not openly laughed. They no doubt expected him to suffer a quick and brutal death. Arion, as was his ritual before a fight, pulled a long strip of crimson cloth from the back pocket of his leather trousers and proceeded to tie back his hair. He left the two women on the edge of the circle and walked to the center of the ring where Kersan eagerly waited. An elderly man with a large ceremonial staff stepped from the crowd and joined them in the middle.
Let it be observed that we have a challenge for the right of chief. Any man who interferes will forfeit their life in turn. This challenge, once invoked, cannot be undone. Are you both in agreement?
Kersan was the first to answer.
I will squash him like a bug.
Arion nodded to the old man.
Very well. Under the articles of the clans and the agreement of both parties, I declare this challenge initiated.
The old man was quite spry for his age, as he rushed back into the awaiting crowd and out of the way of any loose weapons. Kersan unhooked a battle axe from his side. Arion had rarely seen a weapon of such girth. And being a weapons master, that was saying something. The handle looked as broad as some small trees. If he was to gain this crowd's respect, he had clearly picked the right man to challenge.
"I'll cut you in half. I'm going to take your women and show them what a real man is like."
"You just try it, Curson,"
Kira hissed from the side,
"and I'll cut off your testicles and feed them to you."
The big man bellowed with laughter and turned his attention back to his opponent.
"Let's get this over with quick so I can enjoy the spoils."
Arion left both his blades in their sheaths. "Are you going to talk me to death, or are we going to lock steel?" he asked, baiting Curson into acting. And act he did. Curson roared and swung his huge axe around in hopes of lopping off Arion's head. But instead of flesh ripping, bones snapping, and blood soaking the crowd, his blade hit nothing but air as Arion ducked and spun underneath the big man, coming out at his side. Without losing momentum, Curson swung his axe over his head and down, as if wanting to make good on his promise of cutting Arion clean in half. Arion sidestepped the swing and let the axe plummet to his right.
"Is that all you've got? I thought you were going to squash me like a bug."
Arion moved back to the center of the ring and waited. He still hadn't reached for his weapons, both blades resting snugly on his back.
"Well, if you face me like a man and not some little grasshopper, hop, hop, hopping around, I would."
"All right. I promise this time I won't move from this spot."
"Arion, what are you doing?"
Amaricia hollered from the side.
"Don't worry your pretty little head, hussy," Kira said. "Just watch."
Curson circled, not quite as willing to go charging in this time, wondering if this was some sort of trick. The crowd cheered the big man on, hungering for the kill. Arion felt sorry for Kira. He wondered how she had gotten herself tangled up in this mess. He only hoped he was going to be able to keep her alive long enough for her to go back to it if she so desired. He needed the big man enraged.
"The more emotion one brings to a fight, the less clearly they are able to think," his father had often said.
Arion closed his eyes and cleared his mind, as he'd done so many times before. He could hear Amaricia shouting at him from off to the side.
"Arion, open your eyes! Open your eyes!"
"Hush it, hussy," Kira shot back. "Just wait. Death's shadow is finally making his return."
Arion left his swords in their sheaths and let his magic take over. Thankfully, with Poe still locked in Kira's chambers, he was able to use it once again. He could feel Curson's movements, hear the big man's anxious breath. The vision engulfed him, and he saw what he needed to do. Opening his eyes, he watched as Curson charged across the ring. Stopping him would have been like stopping a boulder plummeting down the side of a mountain. Bracing himself, he let the huge man get within a couple paces and readied himself for the swing. Sure enough, the axe blade just cleared Arion's head with a loud swoosh as he dropped into a ball and waited for the inevitable impact of Kassan's legs slamming into him. With all the force he could muster, Arion pushed upwards with his legs and flipped Curson clean over his body. The huge man flew into the crowd behind him, cursing the whole way through the air. It happened so fast, most of the onlookers were unable to dive out of the way before Curson's thick frame slammed into them, snapping them apart like dried corn stalks. Arion could see that if he wanted to survive this, he was going to have to do something overtly impressive, something that would silence any others who dared make challenge. With this in mind, he untied the strip of cloth holding back his raven hair and tied it over his eyes instead. He knew how ridiculous he must have looked, but then again, that was the point. Hushed whispers flooded the room as the onlookers gawked at the sight of Arion standing there with a blindfold over his eyes.
"What is he doing?"
he heard Amaricia ask.
"He's about to make a fool of Kherson," Kira answered.
Arion could almost hear Kira's smile from her tone. Concentrating to drown out the noise, Arion reached over his head and pulled free one of his black dragon-hilt blades. His fingers tightened over the grip. The sword was now an extension of his arm. It was part of him. Arion readied himself. Kherson was good and mad now. The big clansman had been belittled in front of his peers. It wouldn't take long for retribution to be demanded. He could hear Kherson's harsh language as he threw people off of him and pushed his way back to his feet. He could hear the sound of the enormous axe blade scraping the stone tiles as Kherson retrieved it from where it had fallen. Clearly not waiting a moment longer to regain his lost pride, Kherson attacked. He swung the battle axe at Arian's midriff. Arion danced to the left, letting it make a clear pass before swinging to the side and out of the way of Kherson's countering backswing. Again he missed.
"Stand still, you cockroach!"
Arion planted his feet, waiting for the right maneuver. Kherson spun around, both hands wrapped around the axe's handle, all of his strength behind the swing. Before the big man was halfway through his lunge, Arion lashed out with his blade. One swift cut, like the strike of an adder, and the black steel sliced straight through the wooden handle without the slightest effort. The steel head flew over the crowd and impaled one of the stone beams on the far side of the room. Before Kherson had a chance to realize he had just lost his weapon, Arion side-kicked him in the knee, snapping the bone and dropping the big man to the ground. Arion lifted his blade to strike when Kira's voice cried out from behind him.
"Stop! I demand the right of life!"
Arion removed his blindfold and stepped back from where Kherson lay writhing on the ground, trying to cradle his ruined knee. The room was as quiet as a catacomb as Kira, with her arms still bound behind her, walked across the ring to stand over Kherson.
"Do you accept my offer of life?"
Arion had seen this before. If an enemy's life was spared in fair combat, they were given the choice of either pledging the remainder of it to the victor or taking a swift death. It was considered the most shameful of actions to betray such a pledge. Those that did were not given a swift death, but instead a very long and painful one that was used as an example to discourage others from following in the same steps. Kherson slowly scanned the surrounding faces of the clansmen and clanswomen as they all waited to see what he would do. He took a moment to glare up at Arion and the blade hovering just above his neck, before turning back to Kira and offering a single nod.
"I accept."
"Good," Kira said, before turning around and marching back across the ring to where Amaricia was waiting.
"I believe it's time we were going."
The crowd parted in silence, as Kira, with her hands still bound, led Arion and Amaricia across the room and out the heavy iron door. Everyone was quick to give Arion a wide berth. No one wanted to get close to his blade. Whispers filled the chamber behind them as they passed through the small anteroom outside. Without another word, the three ascended the stairs and, under Kira's direction, moved through the streets like ghosts floating on an evening wind. It didn't take as long getting out of the warrens as it did going in. Arion figured Kira must have taken them down a more direct path.
"Now what?"
Kira asked, as they stood just outside the central arches of the stone bridge connecting the palace to the mainland. "Now I untie you and let you go." The hardness in her eyes softened.
"Just like that?"
just like that.
You aren't going to arrest me or something?
Not at the moment. Provided you return my horse.
Our horses, you mean?
Amaricia was quick to add. Yes, our horses. Arian's face hardened as he looked Kira in the eyes. And if I find that Shade has been harmed in any way, the Dark Wizard himself couldn't stop me from raining destruction down on you.
Kira batted her lashes. Oh, how I've longed to hear you talk about me in such a way.
Arian rolled his eyes and sighed.
Kira, believe it or not, it was actually nice to see you. And as I promised, I'll do whatever I can to help find Reavy and those responsible for taking your people.
Kira rubbed her wrists after Arian unlocked the manacles. She took a moment to stare into his eyes.
I believe you, she said.
From her finger, she removed a large gold ring and held it out to him. What's this? He asked, as he turned it over for a quick evaluation. It was set in diamonds. At its center, engraved in red, was a symbol that Arian recognized as the crest of the clans.
If you ever have need of me, the ring will grant you safe passage through the Warrens. No one would dare harm anyone wearing that ring. It symbolizes the clan's protection.
What happened with your threat of coming after me? Kira favored him with a measured gaze.
You just took my greatest competitor and turned him into my own personal slave. I'd say we're even.
She started to say something more, but opted for a not-so-subtle kiss instead.
I'm glad to see you using magic again, Aerie.
Arian's eyes widened as he choked. Amaricia's head rose after having averted her eyes to keep from seeing Arian's lips being caressed by another.
Magic? What magic?
She looked at Arian and then at Kira, then back to Arian.
You have magic?
Kira raised her hand to her mouth.
Oh my! You didn't know? How clumsy of me. Guess he doesn't trust you, hussy, as much as he does me.
Arian's temper flared.
Hailstones, Kira.
She just had to find one last way to stick the knife in. Kira never could leave without getting in the last word.
Keep him out of trouble, will you?
Kira said with a grin. Before Amaricia could respond, the clan chieftain was dashing off down the street. Arian felt a twinge of regret as he watched the lithe woman in her dark red leather coat bound toward the nearest alleyway and vanish into the night. Arian turned back around and stumbled for the right words.
I'm sorry about that. It's not that I don't trust you. I just prefer to keep certain things about myself private.
You don't need to explain yourself to me, Arian. After tonight, I think we both have come to realize there are things about our lives that we've kept hidden. She placed a hand on his arm.
For my part, I'm glad you found out about my, excursions into Cheapside. It means a lot that you got to meet my brother.
Arian took her hand in his, letting their fingers slide together.
It's nice to be able to share my secret with someone I care about.
If your brother or his tribe ever has need of help, just let me know. Amaricia ended their evening with a soft, emotional kiss. Arian felt like a weight had been lifted from his shoulders as he escorted her back to the palace. The walk was quiet as he contemplated Reavy's disappearance.